Talking Bollocks, a Go Loud original podcast. Sponsored by Right Style Furniture. Right price, right style, right now. Visit rightstyle.ie.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
Are you still sitting on a beanbag and you're sitting them like you're 17?
Grow up and head to Right Style Furniture. They've got proper, comfy, stylish gear and they're Irish and family run too.
The house packages are class. For just €3,649, you get an electric sofa set, full dining setup, and beds with mattresses. That's a serious bang for your buck.
I got my corner sofa off them, and I haven't stood up since.
They've got locations in Fonthill, Belgard, and now Omni Park, open every day and late on a Thursday and Friday in Fonthill and Omni.
One-stop shop for kitting out the gaff. Don't say we never looked after you.
Exactly. Right price, right style, right now.
Visit www.rightstyle.ie. And when you shop in store, tell them Terrence and Calvin sent you, and they'll throw a discount on top of that as well. So get down to Right Style Furniture today.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your weight in it now. Till your body is tight. Work it hard and long. When you feel it done.
The hip knocker.
Episode 274 of the Talking Bollocks podcast, brought to you by Go Loud. It's me, COB.
It's me, Terry Flower.
And today we're joined by...
My name's Martin.
Martin, how are you?
Not too bad, yourself?
Yeah, all good. Thanks for coming into us. We know you had a long trip up from the West Coast.
Long and hot, yeah.
Yeah, it could be the hottest day of the year, lads.
Oh, it's roasting out there.
So I've had to get a new T-shirt and everything, just dripping with sweat when I got in, so...
Yeah, played the smart, getting a back one. Yeah. Martin, we'll kind of cut straight to the chase and then we can circle back around.
Yeah.
But the reason why you're joining us today is because you have Tourette's syndrome.
That's correct, yes.
Do you want to give us a brief background of what Tourette's is?
So yeah, Tourette's is a neurological disorder. It can affect, obviously, motor as well as vocal. It can be as very small as... say like coughing or clearing your throat for like vocal sides and bad blinking for motor, or it can be, you've probably heard the extremities, like as it mostly is in the media, like swearing, and I don't know if you've seen the film I Swear as well. That's a lot of what a lot of people assume Tourette's is. There's no cure. It's no one knows the exact reason behind it or why it happens. And so that's about it, really. That's what Tourette's is. So what I've been looking to do for the past, since I've been diagnosed, is trying to raise awareness. Because there's not a lot of awareness in Ireland. There's, let's say, very, very little, in fact. So there's no support group or anything like that at all, to be fair. There's more support groups. So another thing I've recently been diagnosed is, I was telling yourselves, with a hemochromatosis, which is too much iron in your body, which, again, is a rare genetic disorder. There's more help for hemochromatosis, which a lot of people have never heard of, than there is Tourette's, which more people have heard of. Mm. So that's what my aim is, to sort of help raise awareness for that. So
yeah.
You were only diagnosed with Tourette's recently?
Yes. So what are we now, 26? So that was, I moved over here in 23. So 24, 25, I was diagnosed.
Oh, that's recently. Yeah.
So my tics and stuff were very, very minor as a child. Probably to an extent you wouldn't hardly notice. So I'd like notice like slight blinking or things like that. But when I was a kid, that sort of thing, especially mental health, neurological, so things like autism, ADHD, OCD, that sort of thing wasn't really thought of back
then.
It's more of, oh, you're just acting up, behave yourself kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I had a traumatic experience. So a couple of things happened to me, which then really kicked him off. So my father passed away in 22. And I also got assaulted in England. So I got jumped by some random attacker, got hit around the head with a motorcycle helmet, which was nice. Ended up, say, on the floor, had brain scans and everything, nothing wrong with the brain. But then, as I say, that's when my tics really, really, really started. I was working in a call centre in the UK. So as you can probably imagine, that's probably not the best place to be working. So I managed to master the mute button. But it got to the stage where I threw a sandwich across the office. I had a friend who just had a baby came in. She asked, "Is your holder?" I'm like, no, I'm not holding your baby. And she asked why. And I was like, I probably won't, but rather I don't want to throw your baby across the floor. So,
and my did the tics get worse after the attack because of the impact of the attack or because of the trauma of the attack?
Could be both. So it's rarely does happen. So with Tourette's, you're born with the gene. So 9 times out of 10, as I say, you are diagnosed as a younger child. Adults obviously can be diagnosed as well. But to have Tourette's, you have to have both a motor and a vocal tic present before the age of 18. So I obviously had slight minor ones like blinking, coughing, clearing my throat. And obviously mine then obviously increased. So yeah, the doctors have said that a traumatic event, so two traumatic events for my case, one physical, one mental, they can progress things and make things a lot worse.
Right.
So sometimes adults get better. So sometimes it can get better as you get older. Other times it can get worse as you can get older. It varies. So not one person is the same. It's like a fingerprint, basically, or a snowflake. Not one person is exactly the same.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm going to have a million questions.
Go for it, yeah.
So you are saying that you're born with the gene.
Yeah.
So you can't just develop it.
No.
So for example, if someone else had experienced what you experienced, they can't just come away with that with Tourette's as well?
You can have obviously tics and that kind of thing and have like a tic disorder, which is slightly different to Tourette's. A tic disorder, a lot of people get put in as a tic disorder. This is just from personal research. A lot of people say a tic disorder if you've not had anything as a child or anything like that. Then you've also got another disorder called FND, which is functional neurological disorder, which can just happen randomly. A lot of people have developed that, and I found this out online as well, a lot of people have developed that since COVID. So there's been a lot of cases of FND, which a lot of people have like seizures, they'll have functional tics. So, but yeah, with Tourette's, you get born with a gene.
Oh yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. So there is a gene you can trace.
That's what the doctors have told me, but I've not actually had a genetic test, and I don't know if you can physically get a genetic test done or not, because I don't know whether they know exactly which gene it is, but they just said, that's what I got told by a neurologist, you just born with it. And sometimes something can trigger it.
Right. Martin, what we do with every guest.
Yes.
Take us back to the start. Where are you from and what was life like growing up for you?
Well, I was born in, you can probably guess my accent, not over here. I was born in England, Norwich. So I don't know if you know Norwich.
Yeah.
It's the East Coast. So
an English culture, basically.
Basically, yes. So I was born in the country. Well, I was born in Norwich, but I lived in the countryside. So growing up in school, loved school. One of the very few kids that probably did love school. Never had any issues at school.
So when you were younger, you said the tics were very minor.
Yes.
When did you first experience a tic, and did you have any idea of what was going on?
I mean, I noticed randomly, one of my common tics is I'll have a random song just pop in my head and just sing it, or a line.
I feel like that's
you
me.
You do that.
I do that all the time.
Or someone will say a word and then that'll link randomly to a song. So a lot of my tics are reactive. Something will happen and then I'll just say it.
Yeah.
Not even realising it. I think probably my first early tics were probably things like that, where I was just thought, just singing along to a song or something, or just a song's popped in my head and not even realised. Blinking was a common one, but again, didn't really think much of it. And so probably sort of started early teens, I'd probably say, potentially. Because it was nothing, I didn't really think much of it and didn't really say much about it.
Did anyone ever notice it? Did a parent or a teacher or anyone else bring attention to that and say, what's going on here?
I was told to shut up a couple of times at school to, just stop talking or something like that.
As a reaction to a tick, though?
Not even realising there was a tick, or just blurting random things out. And it's weird because I wasn't really thinking much of it. No one thought much of it back then. Because I wasn't physically, swearing or doing anything like that. A lot of people don't think about it and without that sort of thing back then. But obviously now, it's that's not quite normal.
So take us through school. School wasn't really an issue then, was it?
No.
With Tourette's.
No.
So after school, what did you go on to do then?
So I was working in a lot of call centres. Worked at Aviva. Absolutely loved customer service and call centres. So I'd happily, that's the sort of work I love doing, and I would happily do that again. So there's a majority of the work there. I then, as I say, Aviva, I was there for many years, left Aviva due to, so unfortunately, a traumatic event outside. So yeah, when I originally came, I had a good job in the UK, again at a call centre, had my own flat and everything. And then, as I say, my father passed away in 22, suddenly, and because my parents moved over in 2019, just before COVID. They built a house and was going to open a B&B. So if anyone needs a room in the west coast of Ireland, we've got a B&B there. So after going back from the funeral stuff, I remember landing, they get into my local train station, phoning my mum, I was like, I don't want a beer anymore. I want to come back. So I made a plan. I was like, oh, I'm not just going to quit, move over with no job or anything. I was like, right, I'm then going to get a job, sorted, then move over, because obviously I've got somewhere to live from my mum. So I managed to get a job at a laundrette, which was absolutely brilliant. Now, unfortunately, that was when I say I then got diagnosed.
So you noticed that you are ticking when you are young, but you are minor.
Mm.
Did they progressively get worse as the years went on, or was it the last 5-6 years after going that you feel like they just drastically got worse?
I think they got drastically worse just after, as I say, after I got hit in the head. And I just after, which unfortunately coincided obviously the same time as my dad passing away. So when they both sort of, when it really got worse. It just all of a sudden I woke up randomly one morning and I was just, my whole arm was just flinging out. Luckily that's calmed down now. I will move my arm around, but it's not to the extent where I used to just nearly elbowing people as they're walking past.
Mm.
And that's what I thought, that's not right. Not thinking it was Tourette's then, because me thinking, well, you can't develop, just randomly develop something that's, me thinking, well, I've just developed this random arm thing, and not thinking obviously all the other slight minor tics that I had before were potentially obviously other tics. And I said, oh, it must be something else. So obviously that's when I went to doctors, I had blood tests, MRI scans, nothing wrong.
Where did you get diagnosed? Was it here or in the UK?
No, it was here. So the whole thing started obviously in the UK, the whole tics and everything really badly started in the UK. They started the process in the UK with obviously like MRI scans to make sure it wasn't anything else. And it was a very long wait time to see a neurologist.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't even think I got the appointment to get that far. Then obviously moving over here, the whole thing had to start again because obviously completely different medical
organisation, really, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously HSE rather than the NHS. And, oof, me. And, yeah, so I obviously started the whole thing again. Doctor wanted to obviously check autism as well because apparently, like, could potentially have been stimming for, like, autism and everything. So luckily I got an appointment just about 3 or 4 weeks after, which apparently was unheard of. Mm. Very quick for the mental health side of things or neurologist over here. Whether I just got lucky and had a cancellation, I don't know what the reason I got so seen so quickly. So I was at Ballymote practice, got diagnosed, had obviously an appointment with a psychiatrist, got diagnosed, and then carried on from then, which was a weight off my shoulders because, like, right, I know what's up with me.
Yeah.
Because obviously when the really bad, like, motor tics, so I was flinging my arms and all that kind of thing, had started, a lot of people were like, well, that could potentially be Parkinson's, that could be this, that could be that, that could be all sorts, because it could be anything, you don't know. So something as bad as that randomly starting. But knowing that obviously it was Tourette's, I was like, oh, great, I know what's happened, what's up with me. I ain't got to worry too much.
Yeah.
It's nothing I can control. And so then obviously I decided with the laundrette side, it probably was not a good idea to be working there with an iron, potentially burning myself. As much as I'd love to work full-time, I physically can't because I'm holding in my tics whilst out in the public.
Mm.
I can go days where I don't tick hardly anything. Like if I'm at home, it's like a safe space. So I'm at home, I'm hardly ticking. Pretty much as soon as I leave the house, I'm gone. But I can go days where I hardly am, whereas I can be a day where I am pretty much all day and I then have to take painkillers because I've pulled my neck or something like that. So because I'm holding my tics in, it tires me out.
So, as your life goes on, Martin, you're developing new tics.
Yeah.
And, like, you go through, like, phases of tics.
Yes. So, I'll have tics. So, I've had tics where I will, really stupid ones, so I'll be like standing up and make my arms really small, go, I'm a T-Rex. And obviously people laugh about that one. I mean, I laugh about that one as well, and that's stopped. And I have another random one start. I mean, recently I'm walking along and I'm a chicken. I had a random one where I was driving and someone had crashed into a ditch. And do you remember the meme, you can't park there, mate? Yeah, I just shouted, you can't park there, mate, and carried on. I feel bad after that. I mean, I had one on Saturday when I was in Tesco. baby crying. Mum took the baby out, walked out of the shop. There's still a baby. And I just instantly covered my mouth. I was like, shit, sorry, I didn't mean that. And I've got a lanyard, luckily. So my sister looked at me, she's like, and laughed at me, because she knows, obviously, it's like,
yeah.
Because I'm one of these people, I don't mind you laughing at me with it.
Mm-hmm.
If someone's laughing at me rather than with me, it's a completely different story.
Yeah,
yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, if it gets too much, and I'll say something like, if you guys are laughing at me right now, if I said, well, calm it down, guys, it's a little bit too much, but as I'm one of those people who will tell you straight.
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
But yeah, and I just, as I say, Saturday, I just literally covered my mouth. I was like, probably not the best thing to say in public. But, you know, like in supermarkets, you get the public service that's, I was put on that regularly.
And this is after they know you have
Tourette's. Yes, they knew I had Tourette's and they still put me on it. I literally, at the end of announcement, went, love you. I've deep-throated microphones before. Luckily, that one's too big for me to put it on my throat. So, but yeah, I've done that before.
So how is it in public, man? Like you were saying, you're getting tired from holding the ticks in, but obviously you can't do that 24/7.
Can't do it 24/7, no. I mean, the best way I explain suppressing ticks is if you breathe in and hold your breath, you naturally want to breathe out after a little while. Rather than breathing out again, breathe in again and breathe in again. So you're basically filling your lungs out more and more and more. And eventually you'll just go and breathe it all out. That's how it feels with suppression tics.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it feels for myself. I think everyone's different, but I think that's the best way of explaining it. Or if you're about to sneeze, try and hold your sneeze in. It gets harder and harder and harder as you go on. But yeah, in public, it can be really bad. So, I mean, I've had times, previous employers who said I should go see a priest, or when I was out for a cigarette, she used to pretend she was ticking. Just basically taking the piss. This is the bad side of Tourette's, what people say. So I've had people walk away from me on trains. Ha! I've had funny looks. I've had all sorts. Luckily, touch wood, it's not happened. But there's I don't know if you saw in the news about the young lad who got turned away from British Airways. 13-year-old lad shouted, who had Tourette's? They pre-warned him. He had they Tourette's or everything. He shouted, I've got a bomb in my bag. They refused him to have travel.
Yeah, that's just wrong, though, isn't it?
But as I touch wood, I've not had that happen to me.
Yeah, do you ever fear that, like, when you're, like, public transport or in a public place, that you'll have a tick that will...
And just to follow regularly. Up on that then, does it feel like it wants to happen more when you feel like you're in a place that you
go fuck yourself, sorry.
Yeah, all good. Yeah, but does it feel like it wants to come on more when you probably know you're in a space where you shouldn't?
I think... It happens more, so coprolalia, which is the one where you say something obscene, it's rare, so it's only 10% of people with Tourette's have that.
But that's swearing and stuff.
Swear, yeah. Which is, I think, what the majority of people think Tourette's is.
Yeah.
Now, I do worry when I get on a... That's why I've got a lanyard, which says I've got Tourette's, like, you know, the sunflower lanyard you get. So airports are a nightmare for myself. So luckily, not airports, lovely, because it's quiet as anything. So small.
Yeah. Someone has to come and open it to let you in.
You can get there like 5 minutes before your flight's due. Yeah. And walk straight through. So Knock's lovely. I love Knock. Like Dublin's the complete opposite. I think I've only flown out of Dublin once. It's obviously very busy. Stansted's terrible. I can't sit still in there. I have to move around just to try and get out of obviously tight situations, and my OCD kicks in as well. So with Tourette's, it's very common to have other comorbid conditions. So my OCD will kick in. I've set ways of doing things. If I don't do a certain way of doing things, then as I say, I will start worrying. And but yeah, I mean, as I say, it's not happened yet, but there is times I do worry, think, am I going to be, something's going to be said, am I going to be banned from Ryanair? Please don't ban me, Ryanair. But yeah.
Martin, is there different scales to Tourette's syndrome, or like, is there a certain names on different types of Tourette's which would scale one like worse than the other?
Yeah, like you said, there was a name for the swearing.
So yeah, it's not the name of the Tourette's itself, it's more the name of the tics side of things.
Okay.
So you got, say, coprolalia, which is the obscenities. When I first, mine's only sort of got really bad like that recently. Now, I'll only say, touch, I haven't said anything worse than that, but my regular ones go, fuck yourself, or I will randomly swear, which I get some funny looks at with passers-by, like, why did you just swear at me? And so luckily I've not been hit or anything like that. I'd rather not be able to happen. But yeah, you've got also echolalia, which is someone repeating. So a lot of times people repeat. So say you'll say a word and that'll repeat multiple times. It's, they're all sort of Latin-y sort of Greek sort of words. But so there's quite a few different types. But the main two you sort of hear is obviously the coprolalia and the echolalia. So mine are more reactive. So as I say, something will trigger it. Like, as I say, mine example was when I was working at the laundrette, I was trying to ask for a basket, and I sometimes I'll stutter. So I went, can I get a ba, 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 I'm a sheep. Just randomly said, ba, 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 I'm a sheep. And I used to see a cow and go, moo, just randomly moo a cow. Which most normal people don't. Well, some people do, but that's another story. Something else about it.
So you feel like you've got drastically, the Tourette's has got drastically worse, since your dad passed away in 22 and then the attack. So from your early years to, let's say, 22, it didn't feel like it was getting gradually up, progressively worse.
No, I didn't think it was getting gradually worse then.
So since 2022, do you feel like it's getting worse now as the years are going, or the months are?
I think it started to improve.
Right.
In terms of, like, when that fuzzy first got really bad, I was like nearly hitting people with my elbow, throwing, say, sandwiches across the office. But so since then, I say probably the worst one, probably most dangerous one I've had is if I'm doing the dishes and, you know, really big knives for like cutting rather than the small ones. It's always the big ones, but which look like they should be in a slasher film. I will pick that and start doing like stabbing motions with it. Obviously not at anyone. Or even that to myself, but I will pick up and be like, so I have to ask my sister and my mum, be like, do you mind just washing that one up for me? Like, only that one, I'm drying it and putting it away. All the other smaller knives, anything like, I mean, I broke glasses before doing dishes, which is, that's nothing really, you just buy a new glass. But probably the most dangerous one I've had is probably just stabbing. I mean, I've cut my finger before, but just randomly cut my finger. But
That has to be scary, isn't it, man?
Can be. I mean, that's the only time I've touched. I say that is the only time I've ever done it. Cut my finger. I don't know whether I
scar on your finger.
Yeah, nice little scar there. I don't know whether it was a tick or I slipped, or it could have been a bit of both. I don't know. But as I say, luckily I've not done it since. But my main concern one is the one with the big knife when I'm doing the dishes. But yeah, I mean, other ones, all my ones aren't. I wouldn't say they're anything dangerous other than that one, which I know I'm going to have. And even if I know I'm not. I'd rather not,
take it.
Mum, can you just do that one knife for me? I'll do the rest. Do that one knife.
So are like day-to-day tasks for you, like, are you hyper-focused on them? Like, I have to go to Tesco, then I have to go and do this. And like, is that really overbearing for you?
I would say overbearing. I mean, I would go into places and be like, right, I'm here. I need to try my best not to do this. I've not tried it yet, but there's an egg challenge, which when Tourette's got popular back in the early 20s, and there's a lot of people faking it and all that kind of thing on TikTok.
Was that a common thing?
There's a lot of people doing it, yeah.
It's a bit strange.
Have you ever got accused of faking it? Yeah.
Yeah. I used to have a TikTok channel, which I closed down due to a lot of hate I got. I've only just started a new one up again. My thought was, initially it was upsetting me because I was getting a lot of hate. Because obviously I've got an official diagnosis. I used to go TikTok lives and people were like, well, you're not, there's nothing wrong with you, you're not. And I used to be like, well, here's my official diagnosis from a doctor. I have a letter here proving it from a doctor and a neurologist. And they say, it used to get a lot to me, people saying that. But then recently, it's like, people say what they want, I don't care anymore. It's a case of, so there's been a lot of that. Former so-called friends, I mean, I've a lot of people in the past, they're like, well, you never tick before. And you have to explain to them, like, well, you don't tick 24/7. I'm not ticking. I mean, have you heard of Sweet Anita?
No.
On TikTok, and she does Twitch as well. So she's a massive streamer, and she has, obviously has Tourette's, and she'll go a whole stream hours about ticking, and she gets told, oh, she's faking it. And then she'll do a stream where she's on, go, 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 go. And she'll say random things.
And can that purely come down to a comfort thing? Like, she might be just in a comfortable state that day at home and enjoying streaming, and it's not.
Yeah, I mean, you can have certain things can set you off. I mean, stress can set you off. Nerves can set you off. And so those two set me off. Tiredness can set you off. Or just a random event can set you off. Or, as I say before, you can go a whole day and have like one or two odd little bits and that's it. I mean, I have times where I can't sleep and I will be ticking before I'm in my bed, which will keep me up until 2-3 o'clock in the morning, whereas a lot of the time I can sleep all right. It varies. Unfortunately, if I had a set schedule of knowing when I could do it, I'd be like, right, today's gonna be a ticky day, I'm not gonna work, or tomorrow's gonna be fine, I'm gonna have a job tomorrow, or something like that.
Has anyone ever, like, I don't want to say confronted, because that makes it sound like you're doing something wrong, has anyone ever approached you in public about it and then you've like having to explain what's going on?
Luckily, I've got a lanyard. As I say, I've got that lanyard which says I've got Tourette's, and it's obviously that sunflower lanyard, which I think a lot more people are aware of now. I've never had anyone physically come to me and ask, whereas I think I would prefer that rather than, like, let's say, for example, a lady on the train last Christmas got up and walked away from me and would rather stand up for the whole journey than sit next to me because I was ticking on the train. I'd rather have someone confront me and ask me.
What's going on?
Are you
on something, sort of thing? I mean, I like job interviews, I always disclose it. I know they say, well, you don't have to disclose any disabilities at job interview. I always disclose it, mainly because if I say I'm going to start randomly having a tick at a job interview, they don't think I'm on drugs or something like that. Because, as I say, with tics as well, Tourette's as well, it's not just that side of things. There's so many hidden things that people don't really know about. So I mean, for example, myself, I had a gambling addiction, which transpired was potentially linked to my Tourette's because my OCD, because I wanted to obviously feel that dopamine hit. That took a lot of work to get off. But yeah, so, well, it wasn't a full-on addiction. It was probably borderline getting on, because obviously I know some, a lot of people a lot worse and with like gambling and that kind of thing. But it got to a stage where it was getting bad for me. But yeah, it transpired that, yeah, you can potentially have like addictive natures and that kind of thing with Tourette's.
I suppose, in a way, man, in the last, say, maybe 10 years, Tourette's, not, I don't want to say it's become more popular, people are more aware of it. Like, Lewis Capaldi, one of the most famous cases, he had a, like, an episode on stage. Tim Howard, do you know Tim Howard? The goalkeeper. he had Tourette's, but...
Billy Eilish.
Well, he has Tourette's. Billy Eilish has it as well, yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, Tim Howard has, yeah.
Yeah, I remember being told that when he played for United.
Like, what if he was in a match?
Wouldn't throw the ball.
Has that happened?
You do find that, I mean, personally, I find exercise helps.
Right,
so he might find that exercise helps. I don't know how severe his is, to be honest with you. Can you imagine being a goalkeeper just
That's
catching the ball and just throwing it in?
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, we're an Arna. That would have been too much of a problem. That's his excuse.
So, you said you heard exercise helps. Has someone approached it with like a therapy for it? Because I know they've done a study with Parkinson's and they said exercise can help with Parkinson's, but like temporarily, like generally you get a few minutes relief. Is there some sort of therapy for Tourette's?
As I said, there's no physical cure. There is medication which can help suppress things, that makes you feel like a zombie. So I've always refused that.
Yeah.
Obviously, you do CBTs and that kind of thing. I've personally found, because I've had CBTs in the past for like depression and that kind of thing, I've personally found that CBTs never worked for me personally. They don't obviously work for everyone. There are various different methods. So, as I say, you've got CBTs, which obviously trains your brain to obviously try to work differently. There's something called, I mean, I've only found this out from watching, was it on HBO, Bailing Out Loud. So, Bailing Dupree is massive, obviously, in the States. She been offered something called deep brain therapy or something, which is basically apparently two electrodes get drilled into your brain, and apparently that can help. Doesn't help everyone.
Yeah,
there's a trial in the UK where there's like a band you can put, like, similar to like the Whoop bands, which has electrodes which can apparently, if you're about to tick, it can feel it and
it blocks it, kind of like
it sort of gives you a slight shock, and apparently it's helped a lot of people. So have you seen the film I Swear?
Yeah.
So right at the end,
he gets that.
That's basically what they were. It's only available in the UK, though, unfortunately. So there are various different ways of helping, like relieve or help in terms of
suppressing
it. Yeah, but not in the terms of actually physically a cure. There is no physical cure yet, unfortunately.
Man, when you officially got diagnosed with Tourette's, was it hard to come to terms with?
Personally, no. mainly because I wanted to know what was up with me when it was all happening. So I think it was more of a relief.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Which is probably weird to say because it's not something, as I say, you can't be cured from it.
Yeah.
So it's a relief in the case of it wasn't something like old Parkinson's or something like that.
It answered a lot of questions as well.
It answered questions.
Confirmed as well. Yeah, of course, yeah.
Because obviously being told by older people when in the old call centre where I used to work, oh, it could be this, it could be that, it could be this, it could be that. You could have, before I had the brain scan and everything, you could have a brain tumour, you could have this. And I'm like, yeah, thanks for saying all this to me.
Yeah.
I know it just asked you there, like when you got diagnosed, but do you look back since, let's say, prior to 2022, is your life drastically different now from, let's say, even 10 years ago?
I'd say it's probably, it's made me feel I've got a purpose now, because I, as I said right at the start, I want to raise awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very, as I say, it's hardly anything over here, which has, as I say, obviously in the UK, you've got Tourette's Action, which is a massive group, and they help dramatically. Obviously, you've got in Scotland as well, you've got a lot because of
John Davidson
and Lewis Capaldi. In the States, obviously, you've got massive groups in the States as well, but there's nothing over here. I mean, I've emailed TDs and all sorts to try and raise more awareness. They don't tend to reply back that much.
Yeah. I wouldn't take it personally, yeah.
I mean, if I emailed asking about a bike shed, they might reply back.
Yeah.
Man, if this is too personal, just
ask me whatever you want, I don't mind.
Relationships and friendships. Has it
yes.
Has it been an issue in
Yes, so I've had people try and use it to their advantage. So, you're tired now, you're just ticking, you need a rest. I'm on dating apps. I've had someone on Tinder match with me and then later on, I can't be dealing with someone Tourette's. Be like, yeah, no, not interested. I'm just like, yeah, I don't care. I'm happy. But yeah, I mean, it can be hard. I mean, friendship wise, yes and no. Some people love it. I mean, some people love it as a good bit of crack. They love it.
Yeah.
It was a right laugh. But
I was saying as well to you before the podcast started, you have a great humour with it all. Like, you were telling me stories out there and you're pissing yourself laughing. You're I just didn't mean it. And it's like, it's great that you have that.
I feel that's the best way of being things. I've always said, if you can't laugh at yourself, what can you do?
Yeah.
I mean, you're just going to cry. And there's no point in that. You just get on with life and just enjoy it.
Yeah.
As I say, you don't know how long you're going to be here. You could literally walk. I mean, I could literally touch wood. I don't, but I could literally walk out of here and get hit by a bus.
Mm.
You don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So hopefully it doesn't happen. But yeah, it can happen. You just get on with life. So
yeah, it's a crazy world. Martin, what you were saying that when you're washing the dishes and you're getting certain items stuck away and what have you? What's it like when you're like driving?
Luckily, I've been all right. I mean, I've actually read up on this, and apparently. So, obviously, with Tourette's, you've got your motor tics and your vocal tics. Now, apparently, and whether this is true or not, I don't know. So, I'm just reading up off the internet from here. Apparently, because the way you're driving, your brain focuses so much, obviously, such a dangerous task. It suppresses the motor side of things more and then increases the vocal side. So, I will whistle, I will click, I will tell people they can't park in places, I'll moo at cows, I'll do all sorts. But because I have music on as well, really loudly, music I find really helps. And it's been proven a lot of people find music helps them. Luckily, as I say, I haven't got to the stage where it's got that bad, I can't drive. Now, if it ever gets to that stage, fair enough, I'll have to say, I can't drive anymore. I'm going to have my license in. But it hasn't happened yet. And hopefully it doesn't, because in the middle of nowhere, so it'll be very difficult for me.
What's your opinion on people who kind of looked at Tourette's as a humour? Because I've seen a video before now actually mentioning driving, and it's a girl and she's doing a driving test and like they're recording her doing it.
Scottish girl?
I think so, yeah.
Now, again, I think it depends on the person. So with myself, if it had been myself, I would say go for it, because it raises awareness, admittedly in a comedic way, but it still raises awareness. If that person's happy with doing it that way, then fair enough. It depends on the person. So say, for example, yourself, if you had Tourette's and you were like, no, I don't like being publicly laughed at or anything like that, then fair enough. But with myself or something, I don't mind too much. Again, as I mentioned before, if you're laughing at me, it's a bit different to laughing with me.
Yeah, of course.
Martin, I don't know about you, Terence. Have you ever encountered anyone with Tourette's before?
No.
I was saying it to you, I had a fella doing a bit of walk in the house. Don't really talk about that much. But no, I had a fella walking in the house and he had Tourette's, but I consciously was like, you know what, I'm not going to bring any notice to this because I didn't want him to feel bad. But do you find that helps if people react or don't react to it?
I think it depends on the person. So with myself, as I sort of said before, I'd rather someone react and ask if they were curious or wanted to know more or just want to know in general, really, what was up. Because I think it shows a little bit of compassion, personally, like human compassion. Like if I saw someone crying in the street, I'd go up and ask, what's up? Yeah. But it, as I say, it depends on the person. Some people prefer to be private, and that doesn't matter with Tourette's. It can be of any condition. You could have someone who was in a wheelchair or someone who had a medical condition like leukemia or something like that. Some people prefer to talk about it, some people don't. I think it just depends on that person. With myself personally, I don't mind talking about it.
Martin, if someone else was to live a day inside of your head, what do you think would shock them the most?
What, inside my head?
Yeah.
Are you all right?
I don't want to be
in that. How empty it is. Tourette's and stuff, it doesn't actually, random words don't pop. You don't feel like it's going to be, that word's in my head now, it's going to come out. It will just come out and not even realise. I think the best way of describing it, and I saw someone say it on the hangouts on TikTok, the best way of describing it is like a salad, where you're tossing a salad up and a random piece will just fall out. So like a random piece of lettuce will have just fallen out or something like that. I mean, I thought it was a great way of describing it. I think my head's probably like that, to be fair, a lot of the time. All jumbled up and not knowing where I'm going.
Right, with the film I Swear, it was a huge success. You've obviously seen it yourself.
Yeah.
Do you feel they depicted the condition?
That was brilliant.
Brilliantly?
Absolutely brilliant. Obviously, I've seen the documentaries prior to that as well we've done. But the guy, obviously, Academy Awards as well, that it now got and everything. And that's when, obviously, my whole thought of raising more awareness started out more because, obviously, John, bless his heart, he decided to say something, which obviously not his fault, at the
BAFTAs.
Yeah. And obviously, that's when I thought I started raising more awareness.
What did you think about that reaction? Because I thought it kind of summed up exactly what he was trying to achieve.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm trying to raise awareness about this condition that I can't control what I say. Says something that you can't control and people are like, you can't do that. He's like, I know, I'm trying to show people this.
So yeah, I thought it was kind of blown out of proportion in terms of there's something you can control. But obviously I can see the flip side of it as well, where it is what was said was a harmful word. That was more American though. I did notice it was more Americans were trying to blow a whole thing out of proportion. And people obviously who knew about it. And obviously it was aimed more at BBC had apparently had the option to be able to be mute things and stuff, but they never did. So again, maybe that was something the BBC should have looked into, and I think they've obviously started doing things. I think they, because there was then it was the Brits later on, and they were bleeping every other thing out on the Brits. It's one of those things that I think it was slightly blown out of proportion because obviously people knew. And they were warned prior to the whole thing that obviously John was there. Again, as I say, I can see the flip side of it as well, where yes, it is a slightly harmful thing. So I can see both sides of the argument, but I probably would sway more towards obviously John's side of things because obviously it's not something he can help. Whether it's just me being biased or not, I don't know. But
Now, look, listen, Martin, thanks very much for coming in.
No, thank you for having me.
No, you've been brilliant. And you've really explained things well. And I said this to you before we even started. I was like, stop talking and wait until we go in there because you're explaining everything perfect. Because I had no idea, kind of. I think the way you were explaining, it's like if it's just breathing in air and breathing in air. I was like, oh shit, I kind of got it now. Like, it's putting it into perspective, kind of.
Well, as I say, I mean, stupid times have just popped in my head. I've actually randomly just said my nipples are hard to people. I've asked my manager at the time, I asked for a kiss. But yes, I mean, it is just random things that all happen to me. And it's just like, Well, maybe you shouldn't have said that. Yeah, never mind. Yeah. Let's move on from that one.
It helps so much with your humour as well, though. Yeah. You're able to laugh about it, you know.
It also helps the other side where people who know about it and will get on with it, like my manager asked for a kiss. She's like, no, you're not my type.
Yeah.
And she just carried on. Or my colleague who said, all my nipples are hard. She's like, oh, really? it's just one of those things that if you can bounce off someone else, it's great. If it's someone who can't take it, it's not my fault, it's your fault.
Yeah, you said there's a lot of support groups in the UK and in the US. Is there any at all in Ireland?
There's one in the north, which has started working down here, which I'm actually part of the WhatsApp group for. They started in January down here with young Keelan, who was on the toy show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And his mum and everything in Finglas. So they had a group up there in January. They've also done a couple more, but because obviously where I live is hard for me to get to.
What's the name of the organisation?
Threats Northern Ireland and something. Yeah, no, they are a really good group. I'm in the adult side of things. Our Threats support Northern Ireland and Republic of Ireland. They've obviously got a Facebook group, and it's where the main their work is. But there's a WhatsApp group as well, which obviously parents can go on. Because, I mean, Tourette's, one of the other reasons I was trying to raise awareness was, obviously, there's a lot of help for kids, and there's a lot less help for adults who have the condition.
Yeah.
You obviously hear about kids having it. I'm not taking away, obviously, the support and the help and everything for the kids side of things, because it's great, but it's less for the adults. Mm. And I say this group is absolutely brilliant. There's obviously more parents who have kids with it and obviously need support, but obviously there's a few of us who have it ourselves as well. But yeah, there's absolutely, there used to be a Tourette's Ireland charity, but that's long gone. As I said, there's more support for other rare conditions, which I've never heard of until I got diagnosed with myself. I mean, I collect diagnoses like Pokemon at the moment. it's weird that, as I say, other countries can manage it. As I say, I've tried to get in touch with obviously TDs, and that's what this group is trying to do as well. I think they had a meeting with the president as well recently, was with another TD or something along those lines, where they got to meet.
Yeah, they're getting the ball rolling, like, so
it's slowly getting out there, but it's
getting there,
still tricky.
Yeah, is there anything that you need to plug other than that group, or you're just trying to your best to get it out?
Just trying to get the best out there. I mean, as I say, if any producers are listening, I try to suggest a documentary to RTE, and RTE told me to go speak to producers directly. Just waiting to see if I can hear back from any of them. Mm-hmm. It's just a case of, if you see someone, I think to get the message out, if you see someone, regardless whether it's Tourette's or anything, if you don't seem quite right, maybe ask them what's wrong, or ask if they're okay, because not only with Tourette's and stuff, obviously we've had mental health awareness as well recently. Asking if someone's okay, that could be a difference between potentially life and death sometimes. I'm going on a tangent from Tourette's to mental health here, but it helps in all sorts of way of life, just asking someone if they're okay.
Yeah.
That could help them.
Yeah, that's a brilliant message to be spreading.
Thank you.
Martin, thanks very much for coming into us.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, Martin.
Take us out, Siobhan.
Boom.
That's us for this week, and thanks to the legends at Roystyle Furniture for supporting the podcast.
Speaking of great support, see what I did there? Roystyle has everything, and I mean everything. Sofa, sorted. Beds, covered. Dining table, 6 chairs, boom. All in one house package. Plus the lads in the store are sound. They're not pushy, just helpful. And if you're an online shopper, no problem.
Visit www.roystyle.ie, and when you shop in store, tell them that the two boys from the podcast sent you, and they'll throw you in a little discount.
Don't sleep on this deal. Unless it's on one of their mattresses, in which case, fair play.
So get down and get the gaff sorted. Right price, right style, right now.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your whip in it now. Till your body is dead. Walk it high and low. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.
Cut down.